You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to Into the Comics Cave with your host, comic book heartthrob, Grant Stoy.
Hello, fellow humans. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm Grant, of course, and I have a guest I'm pretty stoked about. I've been a big fan of his webcomic for a while now, back the recent Kickstarter, which was successful, I might add. But we got cartoonist George Gant with us today. How's it going, George?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. We both have young kids, and most of our listeners may be young adults without kids, and they'll never know. They'll never know how tiring it is.
Oh, man, it will take your energy in a heartbeat, I'm telling you.
And one thing I want to know is your artwork is so clean and so nice and tight. How in the world do you find the time to do that?
I don't know. you know what? I think it's one of those cases where it's like I've been doing this for a while. So like because I've been doing this for so long, I'm able to like get kind of like the result I want. I mean, I'm never satisfied, mm-hmm. but I think like just with me, it's just like it's the experience that I have. Just with these webcomics, because this year will be like year 16 of drawing webcomics. So I've been at this for a while. But yeah, man, I practice. I'm never satisfied. Like I always want to like outdo myself. And I try, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm working on it.
I feel like that's the answer that most artists will say. Like, I'm always improving, always trying to get better. It's like, God, you guys are really good as is right now.
Thank you.
And George, I want to know about where you grew up and what it was like.
Okay, well, I'm fresh from Chicago, born and raised.
Oh, right on, dude.
And I've actually grown up like all over Chicago. Technically, I'm from like the west side of Chicago.
Okay.
I grew up there, and I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And I was very much like the computer geek, video game geek. So, my upbringing, especially growing up in Chicago in the 90s, mine has basically been me in the house playing video games because it's the 90s, and we have like all these great like Super Nintendo, Nintendo, Sega Genesis. It was such a like great era for like video games and things like that. And like that's all I wanted to do. So I watched cartoons and played video games pretty much my whole life.
Were you more of a Super Nintendo or Genesis family?
Oh, I was a Genesis kid. Like
yes.
It's funny. Like my mother actually just visited last week. And I showed her that the Genesis games that she bought us when we were kids, I still have them. So she was surprised at that. So I thought that was really cool.
And but, what were your favorite games on Genesis?
Oh, man. I was a big, you have to have your Sonics, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Your Sonics, your Streets of Rage. I loved Shining Force.
Okay.
It was like the first RPG I ever really got into. Shining Force. I love like a lot of the licensed stuff. Like I love like Ninja Turtles, like Hyperstone Heist.
Yes.
And like Adventures of Batman and Robin, Contra Hardcore, Castlevania, like Pulseman. I really like Pulseman. That was like very rare, like very hard to play at the time. Like you name it, I probably put it in some way.
And did you ever get one of those? I know they're kind of tricky to find, but those Sega Genesis controllers that had the six buttons on it instead of the three.
I did. The one I had was it was like a third party.
Okay.
And I'm from the camp where, like, don't buy third party controllers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this one was really good, and you know I was a kid, I didn't buy it. But this one was really good, and I would just like play like Street Fighter like very well on it. I didn't get like an official one until like I was grown, and it was like the USB version that you could plug it to your PC and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, and where did these video games and all that stuff, did that kind of lead you into artistic adventures, or was it something you developed independent of it?
It was sort of. I got started, my family and I, we moved into a house previously owned by a relative. And one of the things that they left behind was like a stack of Calvin and Hobbes books.
Oh, nice.
It was crazy. Like all these different like comic collections. There was Calvin and Hobbes. There was Bloom County.
Yeah.
Few Garfields, few Peanuts. But for me, like, it was all about Calvin and Hobbes. And, like, that, and at the same time was, like, I was, like, big into Ninja Turtles. And, like, I just started, like, going to a new school. And, like, the first time I saw somebody, like, draw, somebody older than me draw, like some older, like, classmen, like, maybe, like, a fourth, fifth grader at the time, drew, like, this Ninja Turtle. And I was, like, so enamored with it. And I was, like, you know, like, it spoke out to me. Like, I like to draw. I would like to draw things. I like to draw my own cartoons. So, like, my path to this was a lifelong one. And from there, I would just draw. I would just draw in class. I draw, like, Sonic the Hedgehog stuff all the time as well.
Oh, yeah. You could probably fit that stuff in the margins of, like, notebook paper and stuff real well.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. That was like my entire school experience, pretty much. Just not doing work and just drawing in classrooms. Of course, teachers would complain to my mother and I get in trouble. Yeah, but look what they got me.
Did you find yourself kind of influenced by Bill Watterson's stylings?
Yeah. Even now, I think that I am like greatly influenced by Bill Watterson's work. He's, in my opinion, like the only cartoonist that doesn't let the restrictions, like one of the few cartoonists that doesn't let the restrictions of the traditional newspaper format dictate what he wants to create.
Yeah.
Like he can create these highly cinematic comic strips within the boundaries of these four panels. And I love that. And that's something that I try to replicate myself. I'm nowhere near as good as he was. Well, who is? And I will never be. But I love that about his work more than anything. Even more than the writing, which in itself was just great. I love that he was able to take this thing, make it so grand and so beautiful, and still was able to fit it in such a small place.
Man, yeah, just seeing about how not just his artwork, but also his humor has affected all of our generation, just like how we tell stories, how we read stories. It's been really cool.
Yeah, I think like greatest comic strip ever, probably my biggest influence. Like even now I'm looking at this work, I'm looking at the comic I'm working on right now, and I'm thinking, man, like are my ink strokes like how do they look? All right, Calvin and Hobbes-esque. I've got like the entire series like on the bookshelf behind me, like but like even now, I find myself just like gravitating toward like those comics and that art style. Like, it's perfect. You know, I can't say anything bad about it, you know?
Right. And how old were you when you decided to start like trying to pursue artwork as like a viable vocation?
I had the stuff when I was a kid. That's a good question. because you know how it is. You start and you stop, you start and you stop.
Oh, yeah.
Because I actually drew like well into high school. I did some editorial stuff for my school paper. Won quite a few citywide awards for that. That was like 4 awards over like 3 years. And, you know, I'm in Chicago, so it's like a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
But after that, I kind of just stopped. You know how it is. Like, you're a teenager. You do like, you want to do teenager things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really thinking of being as creative because, you know, you're going through all that stuff. And I didn't really pick it back up until I was in my 20s. Like, I was working at Starbucks, and I was like in school, in college, and I was just bored, and I really didn't want to really do that. Like, besides drawing, I'm like a big computer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you were telling me about the 90s, like with the video game stuff and things like that. I was also like programming in BASIC and like writing programs and whatnot. I went to school for graphic design first, and then I went for IT, and I wasn't really sure like if that's what I wanted to do. I'm in my early 20s. I don't know what I want to do with my
life. Right.
And like around the same time is when I discovered like Penny Arcade.
Yes.
The Boondocks.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I heard of the Boondocks, and that really hit me because, like as a young African American creator, like cartoonist, that was like, hey, like this is great. Aaron Magruder, if I'm not mistaken, has some roots in Chicago. I don't know exactly how far they go.
Really.
I believe I could be wrong. Might be wrong.
We'll allow it.
but I think there was some roots there, and like I always like gravitate to like hometown people from time to time. But like those things came out, and I thought, you know what, with Penny Arcade, you see like you have like the booming webcomic scene basically,
uh-huh.
And all these people are making webcomics. I've been drawing cartoons in high school. I was drawing as a kid. Let me make my own. I'm passionate about video games. I'm going to make a video game webcomic. And that was when I decided I'm going to try to, like, make my own comic. I was young. I was cocky. I was arrogant. So I'm thinking I'm going to get this syndicated. And this is going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is going to happen. This is going to happen. During good well, I never, like, at that point, I haven't actually drawn a single comic strip in my entire life.
Oh. And during that time, and this is like the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, like early to mid 2000s.
There were so many video game web comics.
Oh, man. And yeah, and then I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring, and it was not, it wasn't great. It wasn't a good comic. It was me chasing trends and not actually making my own thing. But it taught me that I can be consistent with making comics, and that, you know, I'm willing to put in the work.
Oh yeah. And what's what was your schedule like then as opposed to now for how to keep, you know, cranking out the panels after panels after panels on a schedule?
Oh, back then I was doing like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was it's crazy. Like I was like 20, I was like 23. I could like stay up all night and draw. but you know, after I did it for a couple years, and after doing that, I actually launched another webcomic. And this one was called On the Grind. This webcomic was kind of like Beware Tyler in that it was kind of based on my own life,
mm-hmm.
But this time it was based on my experiences as a young African American working in the food service industry.
Oh, that which is brutal, like as it is, without being an African American.
Yeah, well, with that, it was that actually, like, the whole African American part actually literally came to me because of something that actually happened.
Oh no.
Yeah, man. So it was like my first day at Caribou Coffee. I left Starbucks. I went over to Caribou. and I was training, just trying to work the till. Nothing special, you know.
Yeah.
But it was my first day. I don't know how their systems work, so I'm like struggling during the morning rush because I've never used this till before, and I don't know what I'm doing. And this lady, this older woman, she tells me to treat it like a basketball.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And that like stuck with me for so long. And then like just thinking about like all the customers and just thinking about all the things that people do and how like different customers have like different like archetypes that you can actually like group them all into like different types of characters.
Yeah.
And so I just started making this comic to sort of vent, just like, you know, to sort of vent. And at the time there were a couple, but there weren't that many retail-based comic strips. So I thought, once again, me getting cocky, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to get syndicated.
Because it's just that easy.
Yeah. That was my thought process, because I didn't know how things worked at the time. And this was like around the time of like early social media. So I was like posting these things up to Facebook and MySpace and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And but with this one, like, this comic taught me like how to write, like, you know, how to write better, how to make longer form stories within the comic strips. This comic, like, people really enjoy, like, this comic has a fan base, like a bit of one, like a tiny bit of fan base, and like people from all over can relate to it, you know.
Oh yeah, because working food service, you're just treated like shit mostly.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't matter like who you are or like who the customers are, like that clash just it sucks, man. It sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to take that concept of why it sucks, and I wanted to make it funny. Mm-hmm. And people really dug it. I drew like about 400 comic strips of that, published 2 book collections of his own. And I'm still sitting on another like 100 something comics that I can always like put into another book collection.
That's so many comics.
Yeah, man. It's crazy how many I've done. But you know, I got tired of doing that because while I had a bit of a fan base, like around this time I realized, man, like nothing's really going on with this. It didn't get syndicated. It wasn't going to get syndicated because I actually sent out packets with this one. And looking back on it, it should not have, because the comic was not drawn well at all.
Well, that's something like you can only see through like the wisdom of time, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Also, at the same time, like my personal tastes in like entertainment have changed. Like I, you know, when I first started, like with my first webcomic, it was called The Reset Button. I was like into like the Boondocks humor, the South Park, Family Guy, the early Adult Swim stuff I loved.
Oh yeah.
And then like with On the Grind, I was still kind of into that, but because I wanted like to do like the whole newspaper thing and I wanted to reach that audience, I kind of toned it down just a bit. I stopped doing comics for a while. And then somewhere along the lines, like my son was born. And then my taste changed yet again.
Oh my gosh, you make it seem like humans mature over time.
Well, the crazy thing about me maturing is that the content in my comics became more and more family friendly. Because after that, I actually rebooted that first webcomic, The Reset Button, and I made it a kids comic.
Huh.
And that was fun. I really enjoyed doing that. I did that for a couple years. Another couple hundred comic strips. So I'm like at like 800 at this point. Yeah, man.
Wild.
Yeah, another book collection. I'm not. I don't consider myself done with that version of Reset Button, but I had to stop. I had to take a break because of Beware Tyler. Because Beware Tyler, I drew on a whim just because my daughter did something crazy and I thought it was so funny. I drew it to a comic strip and everybody loved it, and it actually gained a lot of traction in a short period of time. So, you know, I gotta do something with this.
Right, right.
You know, I haven't written any syndication packets yet, but
Well, speaking as a fan, like, this is just such a relatable, fun comic. Like, you know how the best, like, observational comics point out things that you see every day? You're like, oh, yeah, I never really thought about, like, the ends of shoelaces or stupid stuff like that. With this, it's like you're seeing your own kid being a spaz and how, like, how you react to that. So it's really awesome and really, like, relatable.
That's what I love about it. Because it was born from actual real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like the early comics. I thought, like, I of course I'm going to relate to it because it's happened to me. But when I realized that it happens to everybody, and like, are like all our kids do the exact same thing, same things. I had people telling me, hey, yo, like this could be the thing. This could be it. Like, everybody loves it. It's relatable. It's funny. It's well drawn. So I just told myself, okay, I'm just gonna do everything I can to make this the best comic I can make it. And so far, like, here we are. I'm actually drawing like tomorrow's comic right now. At least I was earlier today. And this will be comic number 199.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's only been like a couple years. It hasn't even been 3 years yet. So it's pretty sweet.
That's crazy. And when you're in the middle of creating, do you have anything playing in the background, or are you listening to silence like a stone cold psychopath?
It depends. It depends. Like, I could be doing one of like 50 different things. Like, I kid you not, like, sometimes, like, I'll listen to music. Like, I'm a big hip hopper, like, so I'll have my music playing. Lately, I've been into jazz. Like, I've been listening to jazz when I create.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, a lot of the hip hop music I enjoy, I've noticed, incorporates jazz into it and has become a gateway for me to get into jazz itself.
Oh, that's wild.
So that's been pretty neat. In fact, yeah, I just found out that, like, this song that I liked from the Boondock soundtrack was sampled from, I believe it's Duke Ellington and John Coltrane.
Really?
Yeah. In a sentimental mood, and that blew my mind because I'm like hearing the sample of the song that I like in this other song, and I really like, and I really got into that.
Well, that's got to be surreal.
But so, yeah, man. So I'll listen to that, or I'll watch TV in the background. I'll have like animated sitcoms. You know, you have your Simpsons, your Family Guys, your American Dads, your Rick and Morty's, like shows along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
SNL from time to time. I'll do SNL. Sometimes, like when I'm just like exhausted and I know I have to make a comic, I'll just play a video game off to the side while I draw this comic. I've been guilty of doing that quite often. But yeah, like I'm like going through like the Dark Souls games right now, and sometimes I'll like just play Dark Souls, and like when I die, I'll like draw like a panel of the comic.
Wait, isn't Dark Souls like you die all the time in that game?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, man, those games are really they are difficult when you first start. They get easier, in my opinion, as they go along. But I'm currently going through like the entire series right now.
Oh my gosh, I was kind of wondering if you'd be on the Elden Ring trail, because right now it seems like everyone and their mother is playing that game, but me.
I have Elden Ring. I pre-ordered it.
Okay.
And I played a couple hours, and I really enjoyed it. But I told myself, because I have not like beaten like the original Dark Souls trilogy, I'm just going to go through these first, you know. And so I got back into Dark Souls 1. I just beat that like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like halfway through Dark Souls 2.
You know, I respect that.
So I'll do the trilogy. I'll go back to Elden Ring. And then I'll go back to Bloodborne and the other ones next.
I just like that you have this, like, the hottest game in the world right now. And you're like, I'm going to go back and play these several years old games first.
Oh, man. Yeah, you never do that? Like,
Well, here's the thing. I only play like three games, and one of them is Skyrim.
Oh man. I was just like, I was on another podcast a couple weeks ago just talking about how much I love Bethesda's RPGs.
They don't mess around. It's not fair.
They're insanely good. Like, Starfield comes out this year. I cannot wait.
Are you going to pre-order that and then not finish it until you finish Elden Ring?
Did I pre-order it already? I don't know. No, I'll make an exception for Bethesda RPGs. I'll actually like play those through. I may go back and finish the main storyline in Fallout 76.
Oh, jeez.
I may do that. I like Fallout 76.
All right. I respect how many games you're currently juggling while knocking on the door of 200 comics.
Yeah, I may be a gamer, guys. I might be a gamer. Full disclosure.
Hello there. My name is Don Cardenas, and I'm here to invite you to check out my podcast, the 2021 Granty Award-winning Comics Coffee Medal, where I interview creatives in, around, and about the worlds of, you guessed it, comics, coffee, and metal. I've already had such amazing guests on my show, including, but not limited to, Liana Kangas, Mike Norton, John O'Diener, Michael Conrad, Sophie Campbell, Guitar Max Carlisle, Andrew Baina, and of course, the Word Bros themselves, Bob and Kevin. Comics Coffee Metal is available on all the major podcast services, and you can find it directly at comicscoffeemetal.com. I hope to see you there, and now I return you to Into the Comics Cave with the amazing, awesome, talented, tall, handsome, what else did I say? Definitely over 6 feet tall, smells good like lavender and motorcycle grease. Is that right? Motorcycle grease? All right. Grant Stoy.
There, I said it. Get my money now.
Oh, so George, I got a weird question for you.
Uh-huh.
So, let's say that you are, you're at the bookstore, you pull out this unreleased Calvin and Hobbes book, brand new. You crack it open to smell the pages, and this genie comes out. It's like, hey, you seem like an artistic fellow. How about a deal? So I can make you the world's greatest musician on any instrument you touch. However, for one weekend every month, you have to be an animal in a children's zoo. Would you take that deal?
Nah. No. What? No. Because I enjoy music. I don't want to create music. Like, I would, like, you can be as great, you could be great at it, but if you don't enjoy it, then why?
Wow, really?
Yeah. Now if you said that I'll make you like the world's greatest like cartoonist that ever lived or something like that. I'd be like, I'd pause and I'd think about it for a second.
Like, would you take it?
I don't know.
You've taken your kids to a petting zoo. You know what those poor animals go through.
Yeah, I don't think I mean, I've worked retail before, so it's like, it's not terribly different. And do I want to go through that again is the question. I think I'd have to pass for that reason alone.
Dude, that's so, I was not anticipating passing on the music thing. That's so wild.
Yeah, because like you know how it is, like you enjoy something, mm-hmm. but when you start making it, it's different. Like you know, I enjoy reading comics. I think I enjoy making them even more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I enjoy music, but I don't think I'd enjoy making it. Like I love video games, but I don't think I'd enjoy making one. Yeah, man. I'd like to enjoy it, but I don't think I'd like to make it. And I can't see myself being on an exhibit like that for anything, you know. Like, you can pay me that kind of money, or if money was even allowed. I'm like, nah, I can't, man.
Oh, that's really insightful. And well, George, we are up to the last five questions we asked.
Already? Dude, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, we were talking for half an hour.
All right.
Okay, how about one more irreverent question?
Okay.
So let's say that you can be the greatest cartoonist alive. However, you have to have tiny little baby hands. And you can't not have baby hands.
I have to have... Okay.
Gross little baby hands.
I might have to pass on that. And I'll tell you why. Because you cannot hold a video game controller or play on a sticks. Because I have arcade sticks. And you cannot play on those with baby hands.
Oh, dude, that's right. Especially if you have, like, the Generation 1 Xbox controller that's already as big as, like, a small pizza.
That was the first controller that popped in my head, too. I've got one lying around here somewhere. But, yeah, man, like, that means I can't play. Because, like, my daughter's 4, and I remember seeing her try to play when she was, like, younger. Mm-hmm. I, like, give the controller, and it was just, like, no. Like, we'll wait till you're bigger. You're not going to break my controller. Sometimes I hear my son gets mad in the game, and I think I'll hear him throw a controller. And I'll think, that's your controller.
Better be. Oh. Like,
my controller, like my Xbox controller, like, my main controller is an Elite. He will never touch that controller. PlayStation, I don't even know where my PlayStation 4 controller is right now. They can play. Well, I've got a PS5.
Oh.
So I don't know where, like, the DualShocks go.
I don't care what happens to the PS4 now.
But here's the thing. For what it's worth, the fighting games are so much better with the DualShock 4 than it is with the DualSense.
Really?
Yeah. Something about the way the controller feels. Mm-hmm. Like, it hurts my thumb when I try to play fighting games on it, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because that happens on no other controller. Not even a PS4 controller, because the D-pad is a bit smaller.
Okay.
And it feels harder. So I'm like, when you're, like, in a fighting game, it will jack up your thumbs, man.
Oh, dude. When Injustice 2 came out a few years ago. Dude, yeah. How were your hands with that?
That, you know, funny, when I was talking about that, I was actually thinking about NetherRealm fighting games. but that actually did kind of hurt quite a bit, like, because I played it on PS4. Mm-hmm. That hurt, like, quite a bit. What's the game I was playing, just playing? Like, King of Fighters 15?
Oh, how's that?
It's good. It's good. If you like 14, you'll like 15.
Okay.
Because they're very similar, in my opinion. What was it, Guilty Gear hurts my thumbs as well. But yeah, man, I loved Injustice. I loved Injustice 2. I can't wait for 3. I don't know what the holdup is,
man. I got so into Injustice 2, especially when they're like, you can buy a pack with the Ninja Turtles.
That's what, dude, I love the Turtles. They were actually my main character for, like, quite a while.
They're really good.
They are. Like, I don't know why. I'm sitting there thinking, like, why don't they just make another Turtles fighting game? Give that another shot.
I think it's because they don't like money. I think would be my only guess.
They have to be. Like, it's like, That seems like the no-brainer. Like, don't even do Injustice 3. Do a Turtles game. Like, complete with the story mode. You have more than enough characters.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, especially if they're combining, like, the different, like, publishers of the books. Like, there's different characters in Image and Archie and IDW and Mirage and stuff.
Yeah. And then you could throw, like all, like, 4 of the animated series. Like,
yeah.
Well, actually 5 shows if you count the live action one.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone wants to do that.
Oh, man, yeah. I guess. And then, you know, and then, like, why don't they do that? Why not? Now I'm mad because I want this to happen.
And it's kind of, it's really frustrating in the light of everyone and their mom are doing, like, something verse, like Spider-Verse, Bat-Verse, all these expanded things. We have to have all the characters all the time. Like, oh my gosh, if they made a Turtleverse fighting game, I would drop $100 easy for a pre-launch.
So would I. In fact, you know, here's the best argument for one. They came out with a Power Rangers fighting game about 3 or 4 years ago. Nobody really talks about it. The game itself is very good. It's basically like Marvel versus Capcom.
Okay.
For Power Rangers. And I think like some Marvel versus Capcom devs actually worked on the game.
Oh.
But it's crazy good. And if they did that, like with Turtles, like it would sell like crazy. In fact, like what was that last week when they announced that Turtles collection? Did you see how everybody like lost their minds over it?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Like if that's not an argument, like for like a new game right now, like a new like actual fighting game, like I don't know what is.
What was the Turtles fighting game on Genesis?
Oh, Tournament Fighters.
Yes. Oh, I love that game so much.
I have that cartridge. Like I collect also.
But, yeah.
But I have that cartridge around here somewhere. I do. I try to play it from time to time, but I'm terrible at it.
Because these modern controllers have made your hands weak.
That PS5 controller has already damaged my hands. Already ruined my hands. America, I can still draw.
You know, you get 90. As soon as you hit 200, just go on hiatus and be like, I need to destroy my hands and be good at a video game that's about 30 years old.
Exactly.
All right, for real now, we are approaching the five questions that we ask every guest. They're based off of James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio. Number one, what is your favorite sequential art sound effect? This is where we point out that you have about 800 strips worth of experience.
800 strips?
Yeah.
Dude, man, I don't know. You know what? My favorite is not a sound effect. It's technically a line of dialogue that can double as a sound effect.
Okay.
And it's basically like whenever one of my characters is like startled or scared, they go like gah, and it's spelled just like that, G-A-H. And I've done that. I've used that in like the last three webcomics that I've done. That might be my favorite one, just because it is technically a sound effect. But yeah. But this one I keep going back to.
Number two, we're gonna say, what is your favorite thing about sequential art?
My favorite thing about sequential art, just like overall, or just like when like creating it, or
yeah, whatever.
Okay, well, my favorite thing has to be, man, oh, this is a good one. Okay, because you know, like, man, well, when creating it, my favorite thing when creating it is actually seeing it like come together when it actually flows and it flows well. But I guess my overall favorite thing about sequential art is when you're able, and it's like the Calvin Hobbes thing, when you're able to take something and make it feel like something outside of like the boundaries of the panel itself.
Yeah.
For example, say like Watchmen. Like you can see yourself living in that world, you know, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to see that despite the limitations of the panels themselves. And I think that's pretty wonderful. And to be able to tell a story with those limitations is like neat. It's wonderful. Yeah, not something I perfected, but I'm working on it.
Again, I don't think anyone's perfected it since Watterson.
Yeah, I agree.
And on the other side of the coin, number three, what is your least favorite thing about sequential art?
Well, that actually will come down to creating certain things. And that's just like when you're spending hours on end working on the same thing and it just does not come out right for whatever reason. That's the worst thing, like by far. Like that line just won't look great. And it's always with the inking for some reason. it doesn't come out like. I guess my least favorite thing is when I see something, especially that I created, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look on paper like how I had it envisioned in my head.
Okay, sub question. What is the furthest along with the strip you've been where you're like, I hate this, I have to stop?
It's happened quite a few times. And usually with those, I'll just stop and I'll just make another strip.
Oh my gosh.
So I have some half finished strips in there somewhere. Because a lot of the comics I write, I'll just like come up with an idea off the top of my head and write it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Because I'm horribly organized. if there's a strip I hate, like I just can't not do anymore, I'll just do something else. I'll stop and I'll do something else. And maybe I'll revisit it in the future. When my head is clearer, but like it's hard for me to see that one through to the end because in my opinion, if I don't like it, no one else will.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So that's just like my way of thinking about it.
And number four, we got, what is your favorite curse word that's not a curse word? As a parent, I'm excited to hear your answer.
Oh man. See, it's funny because like I've not cursed at all tonight, but I curse a lot. favorite curse word is not a curse word. You know what? I don't really have any because I'll just flat out curse if I need to. but one that stuck with me is one that like this old teacher used to say, like when he wanted to curse. He'll just say like cheese and crackers or something like that. and I thought it was like the weirdest thing in the world. It made no sense. I get it now. But so I'm just gonna go with that.
That's good, and it makes me hungry.
That too. I can't ever go wrong with food.
So George, I got some bad news for you. Right. You busted out your Sega Genesis one night and you were having so much fun. You played for a week straight, no sleep, no food, no water, and you died. The good news is you beat tournament fighters, which is great, but you're dead now. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but don't worry. You go to what we perceive as heaven, and when you get to the pearly gates, you see this kind of angry-looking older man. He's got big eyebrows and a big cigar, and he's sitting at a drafting table, and it's Jacob Kurtzberg, a.k.a. Jack Kirby, the King of Western Comics. What do you hope he says to you?
I don't know. I know what I hope he doesn't say.
What do you hope he doesn't say?
I hope he doesn't notice that I've tried to use the crackle on several occasions. But I saw what you did there, young man. I don't know. I'd hope he said that hey, your work's not that bad. I guess that's the work. The best you can hope for is to have the most renowned comic book artist in history, you know, give you a compliment.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be high praise. Low praise is good enough when it's coming from Kirby.
Seriously, not that bad. It's like, I want to frame that and put it on my wall.
Like, man, this is not terrible. I'm like, yes, I can make it.
George, that was awesome. And I want to thank you for joining me. And where can folks find you on the socials?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You can follow me at GeoGantArt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow Beware of Toddler on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also on Webtoon. And check out the book Toddlerhood. I'm actually going to release pre-order information for that very soon.
And you got the hard copies in recently, didn't you?
Yep, I just sent them out to all the backers, so you should have yours soon if you haven't gotten it already. I literally like shipped everything Monday and yesterday.
Hey-o.
The only ones I didn't ship were for certain backers because I'm adding something to it and I'm not quite done yet. But everything else done, shipped. You should have email, tracking number, all that stuff. Yeah.
Dude, thank you again.
Oh, man, dude, thank you for having me. This is fun.
This has been a Comic Book Yeti production. You can find new episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts stream. For more information on the Comic Book Yeti, please visit comicbookyeti.com. And for more of Grant, visit grantstoy.com or on Twitter @grantandstuff.